But let's start in Africa, with a war that often doesn't make the front pages, but which this week witnessed a horrific escalation of killing.
The UAE-backed rapid support forces seized control of the city of Al-Fashir in Darfur after a 17-month siege.
Triumphant RSF forces have already uploaded videos of summary executions, with fears of further atrocities to come.
Al-Fashir is the last army foothold in the western region of Darfur. Hundreds of thousands have fled. Both sides accused of war crimes in this conflict.
At least 150,000 people have died in Sudan's civil war, nearly 10 million displaced.
Sudan's civil war, now in its third year, has become a humanitarian catastrophe of staggering scale, marked by famine, ethnic cleansing, and widespread sexual violence.
It's war crimes being committed live in front of our face. We see the videos, we see the pictures.
We have seen them commit genocides of this scale and against the same group of people for the past 20 years with varying levels of intensity. So this was very much a certainty, and no one lifted a finger to stop it.
Yes, this week, Sudan's two-year civil war intensified as the paramilitary group Rapid Support Forces, the RSF, took control of the city of Al-Fashir, which has been besieged by the RSF for 18 months. There have been reports of summary executions and the killing of unarmed civilians. It seems hundreds of people have been slaughtered. Sudan has been ravaged by war since 2023. More than 150,000 people have died across the country, and about 12 million have been forced to flee their homes. Let's talk to Leticia Bader. She's the director of Human Rights Watch in the Horn of Africa. Leticia, welcome to Saturday Extra.
Thank you.
I think a lot of people struggle to make sense of what's happening in Sudan. It was a war which began in 2023 with the collapse of a fragile ruling coalition. A vicious struggle for power then broke out between its army and a powerful paramilitary group, the Rapid Support Forces. Leticia, what lies at the heart of this conflict?
Well, I think it's important to rewind a tiny bit and to take us back to 2018, 2019, where basically Sudanese of all walks of life took to the streets to bring an end of the long-ruling dictatorship of Omar al-Bashir. And so they succeeded. Omar al-Bashir was ousted. And what came in his wake was a transitional government which was made up of the military and civilians. And the head of this government was Burhan, who is still to date the head of the Sudanese armed forces, and his deputy was the head of the Rapid Support Forces, Himeti. Now, that was a marriage of convenience which didn't last very long. They actually conducted a coup against the transitional government together in 2021. But very quickly, it was clear that there was no space in Sudan for two powerful formal military structures, which at that point was the Sudanese Armed Forces and the Rapid Support Forces, which have a history of being a militia. They were initially the Janjaweed, which had been created by the Omar al-Bashir regime to conduct much of the horrific crimes, including ethnic cleansing in the western region of Darfur in the early 2000s. And this Janjaweed had actually been formalized into an official military force. And then those two leaders came to a fore, and the conflict started in the capital, Khartoum, in 2023.
And the level of violence reported in the last week is more horrific, I think, than anything seen in decades. According to some observers, we've heard of the earth being soaked with so much blood that it's visible in satellite images. We've heard of mass executions. Have we got a sense of how bad the situation is in Al-Fashir right now?
I mean, it is incredibly difficult to get real-time reporting. So a lot of what has been coming out is from satellite imagery. It's from videos which have been taken by the Rapid Support Forces themselves, which just highlight the level of impunity. I mean, we've been digging into some of these videos where we see them executing unarmed civilians, where we see them celebrating over dead bodies. We've seen reports coming out of massive attacks inside inside some of the only health facilities which still existed in this town. Now, as you said, I mean, this is a town which had been under siege by the Rapid Support Forces for 18 months. And as a result of that, famine was declared there late last year. So they were starving the population. They were repeatedly shelling populated areas. What has happened in the last 6 days was a massacre and a tragedy which was foretold by many people. And as I'm sure we'll discuss more, the world just didn't do what was necessary to stop what's happened in the last 6 days from happening.
Yeah, let's get on to that. I want to talk about the plight of those civilians still trapped in El Fasher. The UN says they are being refused safe passage out. Some have managed to escape and made it to aid camps. What is the situation like for people still there? How many are getting out?
I mean, that's one of the absolutely alarming realities right now, is that thousands have arrived in some of the safer areas, notably a town of Tawila, which has been receiving hundreds of thousands of civilians over the last months coming from El Fasher. But we really aren't seeing the sort of numbers mirrored what we know in terms of the population which still remained in El Fasher. Everyone we're speaking to now who have relatives in El Fasher are looking for their relatives. We are talking about thousands of people who are missing. Now, we know that there were massive roundups, especially of men and boys, by the Rapid Support Forces. There are incredible concerns about their safety right now as we speak. But even those who have managed to flee, I think it's important to underscore that for the last months, anyone who fled, women and girls, were regularly subjected to gang rape along the way, mass pillage. A slightly newer phenomenon that we're really seeing pick up in the last few days is abductions of people along the way and then asking their families and loved ones for ransom. So a lot of our contacts right now are trying to negotiate the freedom of their relatives who are in the hands of the Rapid Support Forces. So, yeah.
I was going to say, in January, the US government declared that the RSF is committing genocide in Sudan. And this reminds a lot of people of the genocide in Rwanda in the 1990s. Is what we are witnessing here another Rwanda? And of course, what made Rwanda so awful was the failure of the international community to stop it.
I mean, over the last 2.5 years in this conflict, we have seen waves of horrific crimes. One of the first happened actually in West Darfur. So El Fasher is in North Darfur. In West Darfur, in the first 6 months of the conflict, we documented a campaign of ethnic cleansing by the Rapid Support Forces against the main ethnic community there, the Masalit population, which led to 500,000 people fleeing into Chad. And we've seen these waves time and again, and then it started in El Fasher 18 months ago, really picking up. So everyone is very aware of the conduct of the Rapid Support Forces. And yet, to date, to your question, they haven't faced consequences. Their leadership have not been sanctioned by the UN Security Council. Just yesterday, again, we saw another UN Security Council meeting. There was a statement which came out slightly stronger, given the reality. Thank goodness it was slightly stronger and called out specifically the Rapid Support Forces, but we haven't seen any actions. Their leadership are not sanctioned. We haven't seen the political cost. And we've also not seen the naming and shaming of the external parties. And here, when it comes to the Rapid Support Forces, multiple reports from the UN, from media, even from ourselves, point to ongoing military support by the United Arab Emirates to the Rapid Support Forces. We've just not seen diplomatic consequences for those who are enabling these crimes to continue.
It is a terrible situation. Let us hope it doesn't become another Rwanda. But thank you for joining us on the program this morning, Leticia Bader of the Human Rights Watch.
Thank you.
That was Leticia Bader, the Human Rights Watch Director for the Horn of Africa, speaking with me about that terrible civil war in Sudan.
think bigger about the world we live in. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.